It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 607. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, facebook.com/miketechshow, and also mikenation.net. Hope everybody's had a good week. I couldn't do the show Thursday night. I knew that Thursday morning. I was looking in my crystal ball and I just knew, just the way the day was starting out, that I was not going to be able to really do a show. And I also wasn't feeling that great. Welcome on the Saturday afternoon. Very, very cold outside right now. I have a great show lined up. A couple tips, some stories from the trenches that are all Mac this week, the stories. And with that, I'm inviting a Mac expert for a specialty show that's going to be 100% Mac coming up in a future Saturday. We have to work out the schedule. I'm hoping a Saturday in March. April, I really want to get a Saturday show on server maintenance and server routines with Winston Wolf. So I keep talking about it and I got to reach out to him and we got to lock that in. But so busy, it's hard to get that scheduled. The tips, the stories of the trenches for the Mac, and then a stack of email with follow-ups to some of the previous topics and lots of recommendations on Hiron's Boot CD that I mentioned last week from a listener. It seems like that hasn't been updated in a long, long time. You may want to go to some of these links that are alternatives to Hiron's Boot CD. I have them that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk a little bit more about security. And a tip that I learned yesterday, oh, wait until you hear this. You have to spread the news and share this on a scam that I just can't believe it. A client yesterday shared it. Let's start out with SSDs, the temp folder filling up. I've had now a couple, really two clients, and it happens so often that I've created a really elegant batch file that you can click and delete everything under the Windows temp directory. They should close all programs first and then execute this. I'm going to post this as a text file in the show notes, and that'll be the first link for tonight. All you have to do is save it, rename it to .bat, and you'll be able to use that for clients or anybody where you want to delete everything in the Windows temp directory. I'm seeing 40, 50 gigs of temp files being built up across multiple machines with SSDs across multiple clients. This is a problem. You want to have a quick fix available for your client or yourself. Ran into this yesterday. Gmail problem. My client, an attorney, has Google Apps, called me and read the error message for the undeliverable. Anytime they were trying to send a message, they were saying they've exceeded their limit. When I looked as an admin for domain, for managing the domain under Google Apps dashboard, I noticed the exclamation point for this particular user. They've exceeded their limit. I went to my client. I logged in with her remotely, used Instant House Call, and I said, log into your webmail for Gmail. And I noticed in sent items, well, actually, it wasn't there so much as it was their Outlook. They were sending too big of attachments. If you send either the quantity, too many messages with Google Apps, which I think you're capped at only a couple thousand, or you've copied too many people in an email, or you've sent too big of attachments, they will lock your account for 25 hours. Her account's locked. That was locked yesterday morning. She's probably just about now being able to send messages. And there's nothing you can do. They have the free version of Google Apps. They were grandfathered, so they don't even have a recourse of contacting technical support or anything. Just beware. With Google Apps, you do have limits, and you can get locked down. And sometimes it's not always a technical problem. It's an administrative problem. Anytime you're diagnosing email with anybody, when you get that undeliverable or rejected message, get a full copy of that, of exactly what the message is, and read it closely so you can see exactly why it's being rejected. It'll tell you. And a lot of times that'll lead you to the solution. Two programs that I'm seeing are on Macs. And this week, unbelievable how much Mac work I've had. So I've condensed it into just a couple stories for today. The first one, a client whose home machine is a Mac. He has a nice MacBook Pro. I remoted in with Instant House Call, and I'm trying to clean up a couple programs that he can't delete. And one of them is MacKeeper, and the other one is Mega Backup. Now, they must have come down and installed when he was running something else. He didn't uncheck something, or, you know, these were accidentally installed. You want to get rid of them. Usually, you go to applications or wherever the program is, and you can right-click and move to trash. If the program's open, you can't put it in the trash on a Mac. A lot of people forget. You can go to the far left-hand side, that little apple. Click that. There's an option for force quit. Open that up, and it'll tell you everything that's running. And Mega Backup was running, or at least it was loaded into memory. So I clicked that and force quit Mega Backup. Then I was able to delete it. The same with MacKeeper. And sometimes you can't get rid of them. So I have a specialty link from Macworld magazine for uninstalling MacKeeper, because you may have to go to what is the equivalent of a command prompt, a terminal prompt on the Mac, and delete things in a library directory. So you can follow the instructions and you can get rid of these programs. After you do that, it sometimes comes back. If you want to get all traces of this, I was really glad to see the latest version of Malwarebytes for the Mac, which is free to download. It's not proactive yet for the Mac. It's sort of after the fact, and it's a very, very fast execute. Download Malwarebytes, and Malwarebytes found traces of MacKeeper and Mega Backup, and it deleted them. So I was really glad to see that and did the scan, and then you needed to restart the Mac, restarted it. Then I connected back in and continued my cleanup, which is CCleaner, and then make sure I never leave a Mac unless they have antivirus running. And the antivirus I like is the free version of Avast for the Mac. It's going to ask you, do you want to install a whole bunch of different little things? Say no, no, no. Just take the default Avast program and run that. Now, if they already have antivirus that they've paid for and they're running, I'll leave it. But if they have nothing, I make sure that Malwarebytes is installed and I tell them to run that every couple weeks and then make sure Avast is running on the system. That's now my default go-to antivirus on the Mac. I had three other MacBooks brought to my home office here during the week from referrals from other clients and other people that know me, two of them Facebook referrals. Very, very happy at that. They brought the Macs to me when I talked to them. I was working from the home office yesterday and Monday, and then had some time on Wednesday here. Those 3 days this week, I worked on different MacBooks for clients. As a matter of fact, I might be contacted during the show here. I have someone picking up another one, which is another story that I'm going to talk to you about. But all of them needed cleaning, and some of them had infections. So the Mac is not immune to malware, to viruses, to bad stuff. The Mac is no longer immune, and it hasn't been for years. You have to have anti-malware, antivirus, and good cleaning practices for the Mac. We're going to get into this significantly more detail next month, where I'm going to have a Mac expert that I'm going to interview and let him hit you up with incredible tools, incredible programs, and processes that will make you more productive in supporting Macs. And if you haven't, you're going to want to hear this anyway, because you'll want to start embracing. There are too many Macs out there, and I'm taking business away from other consultants, other computer repair people that will not touch Macs. I'm not afraid of it. But you also have to know your limit. And that is the segue into this next MacBook. It's a MacBook Pro Vintage 2011, 4 gig of RAM, 500 gig hard drive, and it was fixed by Apple. An update broke the video. Right after the update that was run, they had a problem. It's out of warranty. I said, take it to Apple. They took it to Apple. Apple did something with the graphics card, but they said, we recommend that you redo your system, that it's totally wiped and redone, but we don't back up your data. So get your data backed up. So my client, this is her daughter's machine. She calls me and says, Mike, my daughter's MacBook, took it to Apple, like you said, they fixed it, but they recommend, because it's like unusable. It's so slow. When I got the system here this week, it was horrible, horrible. So actually, I got it last weekend. It was so slow. I started Avast, thinking maybe there's some kind of an infection or something. I started Avast, and after 5 hours, it was just 1%. I did a check of the hard drive. The hard drive was good, because the first thing you would say, wow, it sounds like there's something wrong with the hard drive. I ran the first aid utility under the Mac. It's a disk utility. You click go, then utilities, and then there's disk utility. I ran the first aid to check and repair if there's anything wrong. The check came up clean. So there's something else really, really wrong with this system. But they have 400 gig of data. I call my client. I said, how do you want to handle this? She says, well, we need the data. She says, there's a ton of pictures on there. Matter of fact, there was a couple hundred gig of photos that were not backed up. I said, I will take care of this. Quoted them the rate, couple hours to do it, plus the price of a new external drive to back it up. So the next link that I want to put in tonight's show, if you haven't heard of these utilities, I mean, these hardware tools, you want to check it out. iFixit. I love their tools, their physical tools for the screwdrivers, the little device that it's handheld to help you pry open laptop cases and things that you can't open. There is a wealth of hardware tools that you should absolutely look into. They are not a sponsor, and I wish they were. I'm actually going to reach out to them because I love their tools. My son loves them when he's working on things. One of the things that I have that I pull out, it's a magnetic mat that when you put screws down, they're not going to leave. They're not going to fall. You can put the screws in the order that you want. This mat, not only is it magnetic, but it's a dry erase board, and you get a pen. You can actually make notes while you're working on a particular system. It's a must-have, and especially opening up a MacBook where you got 12 screws all the way around, and they're all different sizes, and you want to mount them on the mat in the order that you've taken them out to help you organize. I took out the SATA hard drive. It's a regular laptop hard drive. I got my SATA to USB cable, plugged it right onto the USB port of my iMac and it popped right up. And I was easily able to transfer all of the photos and data, everything they needed, and I transferred them to a directory on my iMac. Now, my iMac has 3 terabytes on it, a hard drive. Now I need to move all of those files to an external drive so I can return it to my client. I bought a Western Digital external 1 terabyte USB drive. Since it's only going to be for the Mac, I went to the utilities in the Mac and formatted that drive. So this way it would be nice and fast and work great. I formatted it to the Mac journalized operating system, then started copying everything over. But I only will do that when I know for 100% sure that that is only going to be used for a Mac. It'll never be connected to a Windows system because the Windows system is not going to be able to read that. I want it to work properly and the best performance for the Mac. Now, I'm doing this all on my own and my own advice, and it's interesting. The Mac expert I get on may disagree with me, you know, next month. This is how I handled it. I copied everything back to that hard drive. It's wrapped all up and waiting for my client to pick it up today for her daughter. But it doesn't solve her ultimate problem. And the problem is it's too slow. So they have decided that now that we got the data off, she's just going to buy a new computer because it's not worth the expense. We don't know if there's something else wrong with the hardware. Or I would have said, let's put an SSD in. I got a USB with El Capitan version because I think the latest one, Sierra, I have one back on a USB stick. I could image the new version and get everything set up, but that would be hours of labor plus the hard drive. The investment would be over $500. And we thought about that, and that $500 would be best used on a new system. That's what they're going to do because it's 6 years old, the computer. Now, I don't use it a lot, but when I use it, it runs great. I have a MacBook Pro 2010 with a 500 gig Samsung SSD, 8 gigs of RAM, and that thing works amazingly fast. I love it. As a matter of fact, I prefer that over some of the new MacBook Pros that have been announced and that they're shipping. I don't like the new MacBooks. I like my older one. Just wanted to share that. So I'm going to have links to the iFixit toolkit, Malwarebytes for the Mac, Avast for the Mac, and CCleaner for the Mac. That's enough on Mac stuff. Let's get to the great emails for today. First email, Jason, in response to the deep freeze alternative that we need. You had someone on the show that asked for a deep freeze alternative. We handle 2 public libraries and we use CleanState. Does what deep free does, but instead of having to restart the computer, you just need to log off and then log back on and you have a wipe session. We combine this with Time Limit Manager to limit the time a patron has to use the computer. After the 1 hour session, it automatically logs the patron off and thus wiping the session. It also has a server component that we use to control both sites, which are connected via a VPN. So pass this along, and it may help the listener. It is Fortress Grand, fortressgrand.com/products/cls/cls.htm. It'll be in the show notes. Jason, thank you for that recommendation. This is Cormac from Crosshaven Computers. Hey, Mike. This is a better version of Hiron's Boot CD, 4 times the size and has more tools, and a WinXP and Win7 interface. Sometimes the BIOS doesn't like the XP interface. Great link for an alternative for everybody to take a look at. That'll be in the show notes. And to go along with this, this is also from Francis. Hi, Mike. It's been a while, several years since I last wrote you, either with a comment or a question. So may I take this belated opportunity to wish you a happy new year. Regarding Kater's message about password cracking, resetting, and your reference to Hiron's Rescue CD DVD, Hiron has not been updated for a number of years, November 2012 to be specific. Although there has been third parties who have released updated versions randomly over the past couple of years, specifically Proteus version 15.2 restored, I wouldn't recommend this version as the restored in the as the title references to the restored unlicensed bootleg software which featured in earlier versions of Hirons, which made it so controversial at the time. Similarly, there is a more recent rework of Hirons titled DLC Boot, again featuring restored unlicensed software. Other, more legitimate alternatives with software that may assist in cracking and resetting passwords would be variations of WinPE, BartPE as follows: Falcon 4's Ultimate Boot CD and Mussings of an IT Pro WinPE CD. These contain more recent versions of utilities that may assist with password cracking resetting for older systems up to Windows 7. There is dedicated password cracker Oafcrack. By the way, I know he's recommending Oafcrack, and some of you may have had good experience with it. I have had Oafcrack work 0% of the time. I've tried it on three different occasions, Oafcrack, to get a password, and it has failed all three times. So I don't go to Oafcrack, but I know people use it and it works. So I'm going to include that link, which will try to find the password for you as opposed to resetting the password or the paid utility, which TennoShare Windows Password Recovery Tool, Microsoft Dart Diagnostics and Recovery Tool. As an alternative to all above, there is the fully legitimate Microsoft solution called Dart, which has been updated regularly with almost every release of modern-day variants of NT-based Windows systems. This can be difficult to get a hold of, as it is primarily developed for large enterprise environments and can only be created via the installation and configuration of other enterprise deployment utilities. Dart features a number of useful utilities, but this specific scenario of interest is the utility called Locksmith, which allows you to change the password for a given account. It does not crack the password as such by finding the current password, but allows you to change the account's password without knowing the original password. And we have a link. Although installing the deployment utilities that are required to create the Dart bootable media is exceptionally time-consuming, especially if all you want is to generate the Dart media, there are various sites that have links to downloadable ISOs, a few of which I've included below. So I have two links for the Windows 10 version of Dart. Now, he has an important caveat. All of the above utilities are strictly limited to cracking, resetting local user account passwords, and to the best of my knowledge, do not provide any means to crack or reset a domain Active Directory password. I hope my above contributions may be of some assistance to your listeners, viewers, subscribers, and again, I want to thank you for your ongoing contribution to the tech community at large. Regards, Francis. Francis, thank you so much for all of those great links. Follow up from Kate. I was actually in the process of uploading my column while listening to show 606. The first article in the column is about Firefox and Chrome blocking the Web of Trust extension. And I have a link. Follow the links there to more information about why Web of Trust is now identified by some anti-malware programs as a threat. Interesting. For your security tips list, here is something I write about often and that I always mention to customers while I am cleaning the crap out of their computers. When you install a program, always choose custom or advanced or a word like that. Never choose typical or express, or especially full. You might not think you're advanced. You might think you're typical. But hey, this is how we outwit the bad guys. Simply accepting typical installs is giving permission for this crap to come in. You want to be in control, even with a program you want, like CCleaner or Adobe Reader Updates. Take control. The second thing to tell regular people is you do not need a program that updates your drivers, ever. It's not going to make things faster. I'm going to even add a couple more things to this. It's going to put the arm on you for money, and it's going to let in all of its bad friends who will put the arm on you to fix errors that don't exist or use performance tweaks that are useless at best and harmful at worst. Do not install this stuff. I want to add two more things. One is never install any programs. Now, she mentioned drivers. No programs that promise performance enhancements that are going to make your machine faster, like makemypcfaster.com or whatever they are, and you see them on TV, you see them advertised on the web. No, no, no. Don't let anyone install them. Something else, which is just horrifying, that I learned yesterday as a scam, make sure you tell anyone that you come in contact with. If they get a phone call and the first thing the person at the other end says, "Can you hear me?" hang up. If you say yes, they now have the recorded yes coming from your voice, and they manipulate that it's being recorded, and they manipulate that yes that you are agreeing to other things they paste in that you didn't agree to. Could you imagine? You can't even say yes on a telephone call. I heard this from two sources yesterday, and I'm just blown away. Advanced uses of social engineering that is going on right now to compromise unsuspecting people at the other end of a phone. It's almost worth not answering the phone, letting it go to voicemail, and then you vet it, whether you're going to call them back or not. And that's exactly what I do here in my house. I never answer the phone. I have it set to two rings, and it goes right to voicemail. And maybe that's a recommendation for people, especially older people, and then teach them to check their voicemail and then only respond when it makes sense. Just a terrible thing I wanted to share. Now, with that, we're going to have a great list of security tips. So keep them coming in so I can put this master list together for everybody. One last thing. This is from Kate. Zamana, which I mentioned last week, is part of the Windows Repair Toolbox. Yes, I know that, and I didn't mention that last week. And like Malwarebytes, it detects many of the NERSoft utilities. Good idea to add anything like that to the exclusions list before scanning, especially if they are on the same flash drive as Windows Repair Toolkit. Good advice. Thanks, Mike. Great show. That is from Kate. Three quick emails from Alberto. One link is for hard drive problems. He agrees to replace it with an SSD, but there's also Easy Disk Drive Repair. I'm going to put this in the show notes because I believe it's always a last ditch effort if you can't get your data off a hard drive that's not working. So use this as a last ditch effort if you can't get to your hard drive. He's been having trouble upgrading to Windows 10. In one of his emails here, he put the CD in with Windows 10, but the free upload did not work. Instead, it starts with, it seems like he's having trouble with a Windows 8 key. When he tries it, there was issues. He was referencing to a tech vets that Carrie and I mentioned that it's still free, I think, and that it's automatic. Alberto is confused. Let me try to clarify. If your Windows 8 key is automatically built into the BIOS, it will automatically upgrade to Windows 10 with no issue when you start the Windows 10 install process. It'll see that, and it will automatically upgrade you and automatically activate. And I've seen that happen. But if you have a clean install, and this will not work with an upgrade, only a clean install, when it asks for a key, you say, forget it. Then you always want to see if it activates when it's done. Because if it activates, great. You don't waste a key. If it doesn't, you can use the Windows 7 key that's on the PC. And they are still activating. I'm doing that all the time. With Dell systems that I'm getting, refurb systems, anything, I'm taking that Windows 7 key, I'm putting it in, and I'm getting Windows 10 Pro activated with a digital entitlement. It's tough if you're trying to upgrade. My recommendation now is you don't even try the upgrade unless you're holding a legitimate Windows 10 key that you purchased, then it'll work. But if not, back up your data, wipe the system, do a clean install of Windows 10 from the portable media right directly from Microsoft, and you're good to go. You want to do that anyway. It's a lot easier and it's a lot faster. Okay, this is from Bob. I was wondering what you consider the best open source imaging software. I enjoy your show. Keep up the great work. I use Acronis and that's not free. Bob, Macrium, Reflect, and Clonezilla are the open source imaging software. I want to thank Tony and Corey Mann in the chat for supplying that to me, and I will have links to them in the show notes. Thank you. Thank you. That's why I love doing this show live. That's it for the show. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anyone that purchases from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for continuing to use that amazon.micnation.net. That's it. Hopefully next week, I will be back Thursday night, regular time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.